WBSM presents Brian's Beat with Brian Thomas, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, Brian Thomas.
Face cards and the fish. Good evening, good afternoon. I think it's more evening now. I think we can drop afternoon. Let's just call it evening. Welcome to Brian's Beat, the original show born at the apex of freedom, entrepreneurship, and nomadism. It is a Thursday. Pretty decent day. I don't know, it's sounding pretty iffy for tomorrow, though. Today is Wear Purple. Wear Purple for Domestic Violence Awareness. It's also TV Talk Show Host Day. Do you have a favorite TV talk show host? I think if I say I do, I like this style. Phil Donahue, I thought was real good. Larry King, you know, he was the king. Certainly instrumental in me getting into talk radio way back when. Larry King. On this date, in 1850, the first National Woman's Rights Convention, it took place not far from here, Worcester, Massachusetts, held the inaugural National Woman's Rights Convention. And after a little arm twisting, President Nixon finally agreed to turn over the subpoenaed audio tapes from the Oval Office, his conversations during the Watergate scandal. Remember that controversy? You know, trying to get the tapes. He didn't want to give up the tapes, but finally agreed. And then when the tapes were given up, they'd been doctored. They'd been edited. 1983, real sad day. There's actually a friend of mine from high school who married a young man who went into the service and was at the Lebanese base when a truck bomber drove into the Marines barracks, one of the barracks, killed 241 U.S. military personnel. I believe on the same date, another truck bomber did a similar incident to a French base, also in Beirut, Lebanon. The Brian's Beat quote of the day: I think it is absolutely essential in a democracy to have competition in the media, a lot of competition, and we seem to be moving away from that. I think it is absolutely essential in a democracy to have competition in the media, a lot of competition, and we seem to be moving away from that. I hear a lot of people saying that you can't trust the media today. I think that we do have a lot of competition. And we can actually talk about this if you are so willing at 508-996-0500. When I was in college, I took classes dealing with media, since I aspired to be a media type person. And I learned a lot that I did not learn in high school. Obviously, before our day, newspapers controlled the day. There were cities and towns that had multiple newspapers. Boston had the Record American, which I guess at one time was the Record and the American, It had the Herald Traveler, which at one time in my life, there was the Boston Herald, which is still around today, and the Boston Traveler, Boston Globe. So that's just five papers right there for one city. New York was the same way. Chicago used to have three that I could remember. And I'm not including newspapers like black-owned newspapers. I mean, if I throw in black-owned newspapers, I would have to add another one for the city of Boston, two for the city of Chicago, one for, you know, that's what I'm getting at. But the idea is that there were a lot of options. Now, even within those papers that I mentioned for the city of Boston, for instance, there are people that, oh, the Herald, I'd never read the Herald. The Globe, too liberal, you know. So there was competition. You didn't always agree with what you were hearing from one, and you would side with the other. Or, as we see with many people today, you are afraid to side with just about anybody from the major media. How many times have we heard that here on this radio station? Okay, so let me expand, and I see you there. I'm going to get to you in just a second. Let me expand on this now. Major media has been gobbled up. This radio station is owned by a company that owns hundreds of radio stations. Good people. I like working for the organization, but we are a major player. You can't argue that. TV stations, same thing. You know, you've got few owners owning a lot of properties. So you're saying, well, how is that competition, Brian? Well, what's happened is a lot of the competition is now being played out through social media, the YouTubes, the Facebooks, the TikToks. And you might say, well, how do you know who to trust? It was the same thing with the newspapers. People didn't know exactly who to trust. But eventually they came around to trusting a particular source, and they stayed with that source. I remember as a young kid, I watched Walter Cronkite. I trusted CBS News. There are other people that trusted ABC News. I'm talking back in the 60s and the 70s now. And there are people that trusted NBC News. It's who you preferred. It's interesting to think, at least I thought about this today, and this goes back to the quote. The quote comes from Walter Cronkite. And I can tell you that I have another quote from Walter coming up on Saturday. But this one I wanted to present to you because we do talk quite a bit about the competition within the media. It's, you've got to search for that competition. It's there. You might think, well, social media or YouTube, you don't know who to trust up there. Like you really knew or know who to trust at MSNBC, at Fox, at Newsmax, at CNN. It's a matter of your feel. Who is speaking to you? And that's the way it's always been. All right, 508-996-0500 is how you get onto the program today. I've got this and I've got something else I want to get into, especially if you are into sports betting. All right, thank you. Hello.
Well, you teased the next one. So if you need to know the under, I can get it for you. But I need to make a telephone call first.
Okay. So what do you think of that whole thing?
You know something? I think we value our sports entertainment a little more than we should. I can't afford to even go anymore. So I'm not, like, if it gets knocked down a peg, I mean, it was crazy.
I need you to be clear.
The online gambling
I need you to
crazy.
I need you to be clear. You said if it gets knocked down a peg, what do you mean by that?
Less popular.
Okay.
They need to start struggling for their advertising, which gets me back to your original point. They need to struggle for their advertising dollars, and they're not quite so easily selling out the stadiums. I think that's probably a good thing.
They don't need to. I know it sounds odd. They don't need to. What they are doing right now is they get the gaming package from the NBA Network, from NBC right now, and all the different channels that carry the sport. That's what's carrying the dollars for the game.
Oh yeah, no, they're okay for a couple of years, but this could be the beginning of a kind of a change in attitude.
You're talking about the gambling?
No, well, I think the integrity of the game could affect affect its viewership down the road. We'll see.
Mm-hmm. That is a great point. That's a great point.
Well, they're locked in. Yeah, they're locked in. They're locked into some very lucrative contracts. I mean, it's incredible how much money they make. But going back to the original point, Mary, you said you took some college courses. I'm a little younger than you, but I grew up Metro West as well. I went to UMass Boston. I had a great professor who had taught a course called Political Communication. It was a political science course. And he started the semester with a question. And I always, it took me a little bit by surprise. He said, okay, we're all capitalists, although he was a Marxist, but he didn't show it. He said, we all know there's a product, there's a customer, et cetera. Okay. In a TV show or a radio broadcast, what's the product? Who's the customer? Right? And it was kind of an interesting question. It wasn't necessarily obvious, right? Who is in your broadcast, what is the product? And who is the customer?
Are you asking?
I'm asking.
Yeah. Okay. So the customer, the customer is you.
No, I'm the product.
Nah.
The audience is the product.
Yeah, I think the audience is the customer.
You sell your ratings. You sell your demos.
I think that's the way it used to be. We now sell psychographics, so it is the person, the people.
Well, anyway, it was an interesting thing, and I just, not to go on too long, I don't know that I necessarily, we certainly grew up trusting Walter Cronkite, but as I got older and I thought about it, I think we probably trusted him too much. And as we go down the road, as we're losing this traditional competition, as you noted, the independent journalists on the YouTube, not that they have earned the trust, but they bring up the topics that are no longer covered in the mass media.
Absolutely.
And that includes local and state politics that just are not covered. It's very hard to decipher the news. They offer one way to try to get to what's going on. Very useful.
Absolutely. Very well said. Thank you.
Good night, Brian. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate the call. 508-996-0500. What say you?
Did Walter Cronkite own a sailboat down here in this area?
I believe on the Vineyard.
Yeah. I remember he used to spend some time down there. He was, to me, he was the penultimate newsman. I grew up with the guy, you know. I felt comfortable watching him, and I don't know. He just communicated so well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The newscast. He's like a master at it. I don't know if you remember this, but he also hosted a show called The 20th Century on CBS. I don't know if you've ever seen that show.
So was it the 20th or was it 21st century?
Yeah, you might be right there. The 21st century, and it was documentaries. It was like documentaries, and they did like a four-part, I don't know how they ever got the film for this, about the Battle of Stalingrad in World War II, which most people agree was the turning point of World War II. It was the worst defeat that the Nazis suffered in terms of losing material and men. It was like Hitler's big blunder, and I'll never forget that. I don't know how they ever got films of that city being pelted and bombed, and they claimed that over 2 million military and civilians died in that six-month campaign in that battle for Stalingrad.
So you don't believe that the Soviet Union would have made that available?
I just, well, some of the film was so hard to believe. You know, it's like, I could tell that this wasn't like a sham or somebody constructing it. I mean, it's actual warfare. I mean, but I don't know. Boy, the people that took that film, they had to be very brave because...
Well, I would think that you had press for both sides covering it. But, you know, the Germans are thinking, hey, we might win this.
Yeah.
And for a while, I think they were winning it. I wasn't there.
Oh, yeah, they entered the city.
All right, so now you've got their folks taking video, and then you've got the Russians, the Soviets, I guess I should say, doing the same thing, especially when they're turning the events around. Both sides want to show their good sides and paint painstakingly their bad side.
Well, you know, the brilliant Russian General Zhukov, and he was... He was like the Patton of the Red Army, and he sprung a trap on the Nazis there. After months of fighting and artillery fire, he allowed the Nazis to enter the city, and he backed his army off to the frozen Volga River there on the other side. And what he did was the Germans entered the city, and all the civilians were armed. Like they were shooting from every structure, you know, like sniping at the mm-hmm. at the Nazis. And in the meantime, he sent thousands of Russian troops down skating on ice skates down the frozen Volga River to take out the combat support units that were left behind on the outskirts of the city. He took out the medical. He took out the artillery. It was a brilliant move, and probably one of the most brilliant strategic moves in World War II.
Could be. But that's taking us far off where we're going with Wally Cronkite.
Yeah, but I just wanted to mention that was a great program, that 21st Century, and he used to moderate that. It really was a great program.
And he was good. But, you know, as we talk about Walter Cronkite, and I had to sit there, and I think I've had a conversation with Barry about this. Right. And that is, yeah, we trusted Walter Cronkite, but... How do we know that he really was telling us the truth? How do we know he wasn't bought and paid for? After all, he was doing corporate media.
Well, no, there's no question. I mean, he was a high-paid journalist. You know, he was a...
He was the highest paid at the time.
Yes, he was. He was, because he had the best ratings. More people watched him than Huntley and Brinkley. And, you know, he was a charm for CBS, that's for sure.
He was. But, yeah. Again, even... He, as the managing editor of the CBS Evening News, he is only managing the stories that are coming his way.
Well, let me ask you a question. Did you find him believable when he delivered a story?
All the time.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, he had that kind of style. You
yes.
Know?
Well, that you know? Is, if you're CBS, if you're right. William Paley at that particular right. time, who the hell do you want in that chair?
Well, nobody ever moved him out of the chair. He retired.
That's right. That's what I'm saying. Who? I mean, you want that person because America believes him. As
well,
you said before, he was the number one rated
Vietnam.
Anchor and all that. America believed him.
The statement about Vietnam.
Yes. America said, believed him. What happened? The result with that? Who dropped out of the presidential race?
Johnson.
Yeah.
Yeah. He said that this is a war that can't be won.
Yes.
That's what Walter Cronkite said. And so many people watched that, and so many people believed him.
And he was right.
Yes. No, I think he was right.
Yeah,
you know?
He was.
He was definitely right. And that was his, I don't think that was the network's opinion. I think that was his personal opinion.
He said it was. I mean, yeah. I would tend to agree. The network really wouldn't know.
Yeah.
The network would now, between the field reporters and Walter, I mean, field reporters, the people that were on the ground in Vietnam.
Yeah,
they, you know, they probably fed into what Walter was reporting on. But the words came out of his mouth, and there's no reason. He spent a week, 10 days on the ground there. And, you know, I guess he was able to figure it out.
Did he make that statement after the Tet Offensive or before it?
So Tet was 67, 68.
Yeah.
And I believe, I would have to go back and look, but I thought that Walter Cronkite, well, it was 60, 68, because that is when Johnson decided to drop out of the race.
Yes, yes. I think they showed so much film on the Tet Offensive, and after a week of reporting on it, that's when Cronkite made that statement, because they had penetrated right into the major cities, you know? I mean, I know they lost a horrendous loss.
I'm sorry, who penetrated? Got to be clear.
The North Vietnamese Army.
Yes.
They had penetrated into some of the major cities in South Vietnam, including Saigon. There was street fighting going on in Saigon, for crying out loud.
They were always there.
Yeah.
And I don't remember if Cronkite added that to any of his reporting, but they were always there. That's what the North Vietnamese and the Viet Cong had been stating. We were always there, but you couldn't tell us from the South Vietnamese. And that's what that was their camouflage.
Well, you know, I was of the opinion that halfway through that thing, and I actually went into the Army in 1968 because I was going to get drafted, and I did it. I made a 3-year enlistment to avoid combat, you know. They guaranteed me a school and combat support outfit. And so, you know, I was heavily involved in what was going on, you know, trying to find out what I should do. And I felt that Ho Chi Minh was sort of like their George Washington, you know. The Vietnamese people viewed Ho Chi Minh as their George Washington.
I don't know about their George Washington. What I mean is, I'm not sure that he was the fighter that George Washington was. If you were going to tell me they're Sam Adams, if you were going to tell me they're Jefferson or something like that, I could go along with that.
Yeah, but he participated in the war against the French in Indochina. He was an actual soldier in that war and rose to a prominence in their military, you know. When they kicked the French out of Indochina, which led into the two factions, North and South, you know.
So did kicking the French lead to a North and a South, kicking the French out, or did the French become part of the squad that wanted to retake over the North?
Well, the French were forced completely out, as far as I know.
But you know, weren't they forced out after trying to root out communism? Wasn't that the whole thing?
Well, you know, the situation there, there was a void going on there. After World War II, there was a disintegration of order there. And, you know, of course, Ho Chi Minh was a communist. He had been schooled in Moscow, you know. He was a Stalinist, really. And he came back, and you know, he was preaching to the Vietnamese people that they needed to get the colonialists the heck out of their country.
Yeah,
you know, that was his major goal. You need to get the colonialists out of our country so we can have a country. And
I think that was kicking the French out, because the French wanted they were already doing capitalism.
Oh yeah,
and by kicking them out, Ho Chi Minh could also bring in his communism. He wanted it for the whole country. The country ended up getting split. The French didn't like that split, but eventually they realized they couldn't penetrate the North, so they eventually got out. And the United States, since had pledged support to the South going all the way back to 1954.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that would have been under Eisenhower.
Sure. And you know that Saigon, there were many Vietnamese who spoke fluent French in that city.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because the French had been there for a long time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They had been there before the Japanese Empire had come into existence. I mean, you know, the British were in Hong Kong. I mean,
Right. I want to try to keep on where we're going, but okay. I appreciate the talk, and it's fun talking about, not to the Vietnam vet necessarily, but it is fun talking about this stuff. Another time.
Okay, thank you very much.
No, thank you. 508-996-0500 as we continue on Brian's Beat. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Winging, wanging.
I'm buying eggs. Egg prices are down.
No way.
Yeah, man.
Maybe down there.
For a six pack. So what is that? 2 times 2. That's $5. That's not bad.
$5 for a gallon of eggs?
Free range, large. You know, I like free range chickens.
They're
much more fun than, chickens in cages. Anyway, so two things that I always remember about Walter Cronkite. One was when I got into business, I got Ad Age magazine, which was like the premier magazine for advertising and marketing. And he was always listed as the one celebrity, just generally a celebrity, that you couldn't buy for advertising because he wouldn't do it. But the bids were so high for him at different points for Coca-Cola and all these companies, like they were off the chart from back in those days. I mean, in the millions, and he wouldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because of his wanting to maintain his integrity. And I always thought that was fascinating. The one guy that you couldn't get for advertising that was, I think they overbid for him, but I think that he was considered the most credible person in the U.S. And so if he said this is the type of milk you want to buy, you know, they're going to buy milk, you know? So
I think that's true. Mike Wallace.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Wallace used to do a lot of TV commercials. And
yep.
When he went over to CBS News, they made him drop the commercials. So it's not,
really.
It was not just Walter Cronkite, but even afterwards, I don't think Walter did any commercials.
No, he didn't. That's the thing is they got to this bidding point where they kind of gave up on him, but he was always at the top of the list for the, you know, Ad Age would have a list of celebrities that are the most credible and how much they were making. And he was always on the list for at the top of the credibility and never could be bought.
Hmm.
Which I always thought was fascinating. The other thing was, you were mentioning about that they're sort of, he had a president reach out to him. I think it was Kennedy or Kennedy's team, because I remember reading, about him and during the Cuban Missile Crisis, and that they had learned some information that they wanted to put out on the news report. And it was really crucial that information didn't get out because they were still in the middle of negotiating, and either Kennedy or Kennedy's closest people called either him or his producer editor and basically said, you got to stand down for 48 hours on this information, but we'll give it to you. We'll give you the exclusive if you stand down. So that used to happen for sure. I did remember reading the story. I don't know the complete details, but he did stand down because the president asked him to. So
I think that most, even credible, you know, when I say even credible, but most credible journalists, if they know there's a national security type risk, and I'm not trying to say that your story was at that particular point, but they're smart enough to realize to put a hold on it, an embargo.
Well, I don't think party would have, like, compared to today, if it was a party thing that could have gotten, like, Trump, they might have let it go anyway.
Yeah, a party thing isn't national security. National security is like we're imminently going to be napalming for the first time.
No, I got you. But I do think, you know, Walter Cronkite leaned left on the chair, so to speak, but he never was throwing the chair through the window left. He was gently to the left. And I think that sort of helped keep his credibility. It was like he had an opinion and it was a little bit to the left.
So why do you think his opinion was to the left?
I you and I are about the same age. I remember, you know, my dad was slightly conservative and our family members split down the middle, but they'd always come over for election parties. You know, I don't know if people do that today, especially when you have a split between the families. But
sure, but that's not telling me why you think Walter Cronkite was slightly to the left.
Oh, I mean, just the things that that he said and done, and you know, some of the things that he editorialized, I think, were a little bit to the left. But again, I only know one thing that he editorialized. Go ahead.
His commentary on the Vietnam War.
Yeah, well, I'd have to dig back in my memory on that, which it's not very good these days, but I do remember years ago thinking that, you know, he tended to lean left, but it was fairly harmless because he was a patriot
go ahead and take a look, but I went through a whole bunch of quotes from Walter Cronkite. Yep. And I'm asking you these questions because of one of the quotes that I don't think it's the quote that I'm using on Saturday, but one that I'll probably use somewhere down the road. And that is his definition of liberal.
Yeah, and, I didn't hear the all the quotes at the beginning.
I only the quote of the day for today, which I believe you already commented on.
Oh, okay.
All right. But at any rate, what Cronkite stated about liberalism, it is quintessential top-notch journalism. It really is. I'm not going to say it now because I want to save it for the time that I do use it.
Well, yeah, save it. I'll listen for it. And Walter Cronkite to me I always looked up to him. I remember a lot about him. But in any case, well, listen, you have a great night, and I will talk with you later.
Have a good one. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
508-996-0500. Today's quote from Walter Cronkite. I think it is absolutely essential in a democracy to have competition in the media, a lot of competition. And we seem to be moving away from that. Walter Cronkite, I don't think, made it into the 21st century. So that quote, at best, came out in the 1990s. He was thinking back then that we were moving away from competition in the media. And I think if we look at newspapers, we see them shrinking. When we look at radio stations, many of them are in some type of conglomerate or syndicate. Same thing with the television stations. But we still have plenty of competition in the media. It is social media with people that are journalists. They've gone independent. In particular, on YouTube, there is Substack. There are many different ways that people are trying to bring you credible information. Information that you can use. But I hear many people, they don't trust stuff that's on social media. They don't know who to trust. And if you don't know who to trust on social media, well, who do you trust on any of these networks? What it comes down to is your own philosophy, your own belief system. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't people out there lying. There absolutely is, but you're never going to know unless you keep on fishing around and looking and finding your Walter Cronkite or your Diane Sawyer, your Leslie Stahl, whomever. But you have to look around and look around and look around you. It's not going to just be like it was back in the 60s and 70s where you had basically four networks, if you include PBS, and you would turn it on and you had Walter, you had David Brinkley, you had Chet Huntley, You had Max Robinson. You had McNeil Lehrer. I mean, those days are over. But the people that do that type of reporting, they're still out there. You just have to find them. And I got to tell you, there are quite a few waiting for you to check them out on YouTube.
When the people fear the government, there is tyranny. When the government fears the people, there is liberty.
This is WBSM.
G.I. Joe, G.I. Joe, fighting man from head to toe, on the land, on the sea, in the air.
I can't answer your call right now, but it is important to me.
That won't happen at Low Cost Air. When you dial 800-221-6085, a real person answers and helps you find your best airfares, foreign and domestic. Your choice. Automation.
Please leave a message with your name and number.
Or a real person. Low Cost Air, 800-221-6085. Low Cost Air, 800-221-6085.
Call 508-996-0500. Back to Brian's Beat.
As of the end of next week, SNAP benefits are going to be frozen. They go away.
SNAP benefits could be frozen. That was Governor Healey speaking yesterday at the Gold Dome State House about SNAP benefits. And I think about these basketball, some of them superstars, none of them broke. Their contracts say that they weren't broke. I don't know how they were spending their money. But there was this gambling ring where this guy, Chauncey Billups, he was, I think, the sixth player chosen in the NBA draft back in 1997 by the Celtics. And he was a good player. He wasn't the person that they really wanted to get, but he was a very, very good player. He eventually ended up off the team, picked up by the Detroit Pistons, won a championship with Detroit, and he had a more than a serviceable career in the NBA. And he was, until this morning, the head coach of the Portland Trailblazers. But apparently he was involved in this illegal gambling ring where people love the opportunity of playing poker against stars, NBA stars, and Chauncey Billups would qualify as an NBA star. But as the Justice Department has set this up, Chauncey Billups was one of many involved in this ring where he was known as a face card. Face card were the athletes and the people that were involved in the illegal rigging of these games. And the people known as the fish, they were the poor suckers who wanted the opportunity to gamble. Everything was stacked against them. Just read a little bit here from the release from the government. It was described as a sophisticated cheating scheme with technologies used like modified shuffling machines that would shuffle the cards and signal which player had the best hand to someone who would relay that information back to other co-conspirators at the table. Other equipment included a poker chip tray that secretly read the player's cards using a hidden camera, special glasses that revealed marked cards, and an X-ray table an X-ray table that could read cards placed face down on the table. Now, according to the U.S. Attorney's Office for New York, or one of the U.S. Attorney offices down in New York, organized crime was involved in this. Exactly to what extent, I don't know. But I do remember when I read that, I said, should you be surprised that organized crime would be involved? I mean, this sounds like something that would be right up their alley. But talk about sophistication. X-ray table that could read cards that were placed face down. So, you know, you play cards and you put your cards down on the table so you can't see if it's a three or a king or a jack or whatever. It's face down. But the table could read it. Now, that's sophistication. You know, I wonder who spilled the beans. Because somebody had a good system going and somebody spilled the beans and now it's out there. Now everybody's going to wonder. But here's the big thing. A caller earlier this evening mentioned it. You know, he doesn't know what sport to trust anymore. And I have to agree. I love basketball. But people shave points in basketball games. In this story, one of the other players who used to play for the Celtics, who was now, was until today anyway, a member of the Miami Heat. His name was Terry Rozier. He would sometimes opt out of a game for whatever reason, you know, maybe pretended like he was injured, and he would just leave the game. And he would tell other folks that he's leaving the game. And because he left the game, people started placing bets. You know, for instance, he's not going to return to the game, and somebody thinks, well, Rozier is going to score 15 or 20 points tonight, well, they bet that he wouldn't do it. And there were hundreds of thousands of dollars that people won because this guy never returned to the game. So this is some really scary stuff. And I sit here as somebody who balks at the idea of paying exorbitant fees to go watch a basketball game. And quite frankly, the game is actually made better right now to watch the game on television. Whether you buy the NBA package or you have, Comcast Sports Network or Comcast Sports New England that gives you just about every Celtics game. Or you have some other package. Sometimes it's just you get the replays and you pay a minimal amount of money for the privilege of sitting home and having your own eats and whatnot. You go to a ball game now. I'm not telling you something you don't know. You go to a ball game, you're paying $12, $15 for a beer. You're paying $10 for watered down soda. I have no idea what popcorn costs, but it's kind of stale anyway. Hot dogs, I don't eat them anymore, but ballpark or stadium hot dogs are pretty gross. Nachos, you know, thank you. I'll eat at home. But now this is just another turnoff. You know, people like to be entertained. They like to relax. They want to watch their game. They want to watch their team. And they don't want to think that a player or an umpire or a coach is, you know, maybe keeping a star player out of a game for a while so the point total isn't so high. You know, so somebody can win a bet, or they can win a bet. I'm not the commissioner of the NBA, but if these guys were involved the way that the federal government says that they were, ban them for life. Maybe, you know, you don't allow them to even go watch a game anymore. Just get them out of the league. And that brings me to Pete Rose. Somebody asked me the other day, should Pete Rose be allowed back in? If he bet on baseball games, he knew what the rules were. Absolutely not. I know the guy's dead still. He should not be allowed. And that's my take on it.
I would unite with anybody to do right and with nobody to do wrong.
WBSM.
This is Polaroid's new Time Zero One Step.
Pretty. Why is it black?
Oh, you'll know it's the Time Zero One Step. And here's the world's fastest developing color.
You know how politicians take advantage of a crisis. Would it be okay if I do the same? The Small Business Administration is closed during the shutdown. However, owners still have a viable option. It's called alternative capital through legitimate business funders. At legitimate business funders, owners can get up to $2 million with no collateral in just a few days. To find out more, go to legitimatebusinessfunders.com. Legitimatebusinessfunders.com.
Back to Brian's Beat.
Just cannot backfill all these federal cuts, nor should we backfill all these federal cuts.
It is a Thursday night, SVU. In fact, it's a law and order type of evening. By the way, wish there could be some order. I went to the barbershop today just to get a mustache trim. $25. 53 in Berkeley, 55 in Marion, 56 in New Bedford. I'm Brian. Time for me to step out. Tim is in at 6 in the morning. I'm back at 6 tomorrow.